Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome my wonderful, beautiful wife, who helps me and definitely is a helpmate to me in my life. Hopefully I'm a helpmate to her. And so would you please welcome Julie Callahan Redding, Pastor Callahan's daughter, who I took away from him. He's still mad at me? No, just kidding.
Amen. Well, praise God. I think you did a good job. But first of all, I just want to thank Pastor Jack for inviting us here to do that, because really it shows you his heart, that he wants you to understand more about praise and worship. And that's one thing I do appreciate about Pastor Jack, is he wants to flow with the Spirit. He's a worshiper. Well, so is Pastor Carter and Paula. I don't want to leave them out, but we're here at Pastor Jack's church. And I just, you know, you can tell if people are about themselves or if they're about God. And I appreciate that about Pastor Jack. I know he's about God. You know, it's not about here I am, world, you know, but it's about here God is, world, and he's the one that can help you. And I appreciate that. So I've got so much information up here, but really what I want to do is minister out of my heart today. But when it comes to music, I was going to impress Pastor Jack and look up all the scientific information about music, but really science does not interest me at all. Sorry, Pastor Jack. But, you know, thank the Lord we have people that are gifted in all areas so we can understand everything. You know, they can bring it down to your level, you know, whether that level be very simple, which is for me. But if you do look at science, music is something that is a very powerful tool. They show studies. I did do a little bit of studying, but they do show studies about children that are given piano lessons or violin lessons or whatever instrument at a very young age. It helps with their memory development. anybody that studies music, it helps with your mind, your memory, all of that is affected. There's also studies for people that, you know, music can help you heal faster. Pastor David came across someone, I'm not even sure what their church they're from, but her ministry is singing over people that are believed walking through healing, you know, cancer or whatever. What is Julie True? And it's beautiful, it's anointed, and when you're walking through, this has really nothing to do with everything else I'm going to say this morning, but when you're walking through a major health issue, you have got to keep the Word of God, anointed music going, because otherwise that fear is going to try and creep in, and fear and faith cannot operate together. But that's just a side note. But, you know, music is a powerful tool. I mean, you get thousands of kids together and have crazy wild music going on, you know, that's not glorifying God, and usually some bad things are going on there because the spirit behind the music. How much more powerful is music when you have the Holy Spirit behind it? Amen. And I believe God can use all types of music. You might not like all types of music, but I think God can use all types of music. I loved when Brother Eric did his raps. I thought that was awesome because they were full of word. And that might not have been your cup of tea. You might like bluegrass music. And there are some, you know, praise God. There's some people that you know, have that and use that to minister to people. But I believe that praise and worship is a very important part for every believer. It's not a time where, you know, I believe that in the church we've made praise and worship a beginning of a service, you know, like Pastor Jack was talking about. People kind of straggle in about, you know, we're halfway done with praise and worship and, you know, oh, well, a couple more people have come in and we're about, you know, almost three quarters of the way done with praise and worship. And all of a sudden you look up and you're like, where did all these people come from? At least that's how it is at our church. But it's not preliminaries, you know, it's not just to fill time while people straggle in. It's a time where we minister unto God. And it's so important. It's not only important, you know, God doesn't only consider it important. I mean, if you would look just at the book of Psalms, praise is so important. He put a whole book, and it's a very long book, about praise. And that it's very important to God. But, you know, it's not just a time of preliminaries, but it's a time where, you know, we minister to God, and out of that ministering unto God, God can prepare us to get what we need for the day. You know, sometimes it's hard because we're all people, we're all humans, and if you're a wife, mother, husband, whatever, you know, you're all trying to rush out the door and get to church. And, you know, I remember when my kids were, they're teenagers and they're still hard to get out of the house. But, you know, sometimes I think they might be harder. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I remember she soiled her diaper again, you know, or whatever. And you're thinking, I just changed this child's clothes and she's covered in juice or whatever. And so you have to, but all that happens. And then you're going into church and then you're thinking, okay, now how am I supposed to enter in? But that's where the sacrifice of praise comes in. You step into that and you watch God move on your behalf. And I just wanted to me, when I was thinking, preparing for this, this scripture kept going over and over and over in my spirit. And I'm just the very first part of it, but James 4:8. And it says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And really, that's what worshiping and praising God is. You're drawing near to him. And once you make that step, he's going to draw near to you. Every time. You know, it's going to work every time. Every time. And I'm going to kind of focus just a little bit more on worship. The other thing I was going to talk about when I was talking about music, you know, even Samuel, or the book of Samuel, when Saul, I was going to say Samuel there, but King Saul was being troubled by an evil spirit. You know, what did he do? He wanted an anointed musician. And so the music is powerful. It is powerful. And that's why it's so awesome to see the church taking that back, right? Amen. Because we sat and let the world get way ahead of us while we sat and, you know, were judgmental or whatever about stuff going on, when now we're stepping forward and we're taking that music back, because it's all to glorify God, right? Worship came from an old Anglo-Saxon word, worthskype. And it eventually became worthship, worthship. And if you talk about the worth of something, what are you talking about? Value, right? So when I see worship, really when you enter into worship, you're putting a value on your time with God, right? So if you worship him like, okay, Pastor David's been going for 20 minutes now, and, you know, we got a roast at home in the oven, and Pastor Jack's going to at least go, you know, or Pastor Callahan or whoever, you know, he's going to at least go an hour, you know, at least an hour. And goodness, my kids have you know, that's putting zero worth on your time with God. Zero. You know, you might as well have just stayed home, cooked your roast, took your kids to the ball game, and because you are giving absolutely no worth to God. You are going to worship God according to what you think he's worth. So, I mean, you know, give you something a little bit to, you know, chew on. Amen? Because that's really true. And when it comes to worship, it is not about me, you know? And that's one thing, you know, Pastor David and I often say, hey, we would leave praise and worship behind a screen somewhere where nobody can see us because it's not about us. You know, if we all do worship differently out of our personalities, right? I mean, because we do have different personalities, and I love my husband that he is, you know, he can jump off the platform and go do a mosh pit with you. And that's not my personality. I do believe that we all have our own dance. I believe we all have our own way that we worship God and praise God. And it might be just, you know, rocking back and forth, or it might be, okay, no comments from the peanut gallery. Or you might even just do like a little two-step, you know. But we all have our own dance. We have our own way we can praise God. And there are times where we might step out even more from our comfort zone, you know. And I believe that, but whatever is, you know, however you want to worship God, you do that. But just remember, you're placing a worth, a value on God when you're worshiping. Amen? Okay, so I've got Pastor Carter here, and I'm going into Greek. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, really quick. No, just kidding. We're going to talk a little bit about words that mean worship. And I've got so much here. We'll just get to what I've... Hallelujah. But the main word in the Greek... Well, let's see. Let's start with Hebrew. One of the main words in the Hebrew Old Testament that means worship... We're not even touching the surface of all the words that talk about praise and worship and music. So much. If you want to do a really in-depth study, it's very interesting. There are scriptures that talk about praising the Lord, waving banners and flags. There are scriptures that talk about praising the Lord, dancing in a circle. Dance troops are mentioned in the Lord, in the word. So it's very, very interesting. But we're going to talk about just some of the words that mean worship. Shakah, it's S-H-A-C-H-A-H. It means to depress or prostrate in homage or loyalty to God, to bow down or to fall flat. And prostrate, just in case you don't know, means to cast oneself down on the ground in humility, submission, or adoration. Okay? So this is an actual... You know, it's not a noun, but it's an actual verb where you actually kneel down, bow down, get on your face. I mean, has the presence of God ever been so strong on you? All you can do is just, you know, I'm done, you know, and be out in front of God, face down on the ground, eating carpet, you know. But his presence is so good and so strong. Go to Psalms. We're just going to look at just a couple because I said I got a lot and I'm not teasing. Psalms 95:6. And these are just a couple instances of Shekah being used in the Old Testament. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let's see. I've got notes everywhere here. Psalms 99:9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Psalms 132:7, let us go into his tabernacle, let us worship at his footstool. All of those are that word shakah. So it's actually meaning to bow down, to be fall flat down on the ground in your loyalty to God. Also, I don't even know how to spell it. Latreuo. Thank you, Pastor Carter. He came in just in time, right? And that's actually a Greek word. To minister, render religious homage, serve, to do service, or worshiper. We see it in Philippians 3:3. For we are circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's that word, what he said. like I said, I'm just touching on a few here. My personal favorite is the word proskuneo. Did I say that word? Proskuneo? Close enough? It means to adore, to kiss, like a dog kissing his master's hand, to crouch or prostrate oneself. So this is truly a word of adoration. You know, where you just sit at Father God's feet, you know, and worship him. We are his bride, you know, we are his bride. So to me, worship, praise is outer court, inner court, but worship is holy of holies. It's that personal, intimate time with God that we all need, you know. And one thing that, you know, when we find as praise and worship leaders is people think, oh, well, that's for you and Pastor David. You know, you all sing and everything. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, you know, whatever. But the Bible doesn't make any requirements, you know. There is not one requirement that says, if you know how to sing, if you can play the piano or the trumpet or the guitar, he doesn't say any of that. He just tells us to worship and praise him. And that's it. You know, you can have what you think to be the worst voice, or maybe somebody's told you it's the worst voice they've ever heard. But that doesn't matter to God. He looks at our heart. You know, he really does. He doesn't care if you can sing five-part harmony and play chopsticks. Or, I mean, he doesn't care. All he wants is your heart. He wants your time. He wants your worship, right? And so that proskuneo means to adore, to kiss. You know, we have three dogs, hallelujah. And they love to, especially me, I don't know why, but to sit right almost on top of my feet. You know, they just snuggle in and they, you know, just they're comforted there. They're loyal to you. You can tell that they love you, you know, as much as a dog can love. But that's what we're supposed to do to Father God. Just snuggle up to him and spend time with him and love on him. And, you know, that's what he wants us to do. If we could look at John, I'm skipping over a lot of stuff here, but John 4:23. And I love the scripture. And it kind of happens, you know, in the middle of the story. Well, it does happen in the middle of the story where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, where he asks her to get him a drink. and she gets him a drink of water, and then he prophesies to her, reads her mail. And then in the middle of that, Jesus, if you have your Bibles open, what color are those words there? Red. So it's not Julie Redding saying this. It's not Pastor Jack saying this. It's not Pastor David saying this. We're not just trying to come up with something to say here, but this is Jesus, and he's saying this. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For Father seeketh such to worship him. He's seeking for people to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, now, if and my husband can attest to this, misplace my keys, and I start searching for them, I'm usually very happy when I find them, And that's how I see God. He's trying to, he must have to look. Because he said he's searching. Well, I want him to find me worshiping him. Amen. I believe, Pastor Callahan talks about people that put themselves in a position for God to bless, I believe worship is that one of those ways you put yourself in a position. Here I am, God. I worship you. You alone are God. You are so good to me. God is so good to us. He is so good to me. And even if I'm walking through a healing, even if, my dogs threw up on the floor and I have to pick it up, even if the numbers in the bank account aren't what I would like to see, God is so good to me. Because everything I walk through, he has made a way. He has made a way. He is so good to me. Amen. And we can sometimes get so distracted by what we're walking through that we forget about God. And he has already made a way. But so he's looking, searching for people to worship him. He is searching. And let's read that again. But the hour cometh, and now is. This is the time. This is the season when the true worshipers, those are proskuneites. Thank you. Hallelujah. Worshipers shall worship. And that's that word proskuneo. Okay. Somebody that adores, kisses, crouches, prostrates themselves. The Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that in spirit and in truth, not only, we're spirit, soul, body, but when we are full of the Holy Spirit, I believe not only do we worship him in the Spirit, but I believe we worship him through, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? Because you can tell, and I believe that's where the anointing comes in. But, you can tell if somebody is just singing and there's no anointing there. And, usually that's when you're like, okay, let's move on with this thing. But you know what? I could be led in praise and worship by somebody that has no anointing there, but I have the anointing in me. And I can make the decision. That person can be as spiritually dead as dead can be, but I'm not. So I can step in and I can worship God. I can praise God. Amen. because it's all a choice. It is a choice, just like it's a choice whether or not you choose to obey God and tithe. That's a choice. You can walk in obedience or disobedience. You can choose to spend time with God or not spend time with God. You can choose whether or not you worship God and praise God. It's a choice. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything. Not anything. I don't want to go to heaven, and we're going to talk about this later, experience such passionate worship to God. Passionate. I mean, these people are up in heaven, and they're not just, oh, holy, holy. I mean, we're going to take a look at this later this afternoon or whenever. But it's a passionate, they are passionate about worshiping God. There's worship going on in heaven all the time. I need a drink of water. I'm sorry. We're family, right? But, you know, it's all a choice, and I choose to be passionate. You know, like I said, there's a lot of personality. You know, some of us are quieter. Some of us are louder. Some of us are more flamboyant. Some of us are introverts. But, you know, I, as a worship leader, as a pastor, you can tell if people are drawn, can't you? I mean, you can tell if people have totally shut you off. They're not listening to you. You could have the most anointed word of God come from heaven, drop in your spirit, and you're pouring it out. And you can tell this is not going any farther than right here. I might as well just say my breath, sit down. But, you know, and as praise and worship leaders, it's the same thing. You can tell if people are entering in with you. You know, as a leader, we do exactly that. We lead. So, you know, sometimes you can feel like you're pulling a mound of elephants behind you. Come on, let's go. Let's enter into praise and worship. Come on, he's good to you. Don't you have something you can get excited about? You woke up this morning and you're breathing. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can go to the kitchen and get a drink of water and make scrambled eggs or whatever you do. You know, praise God. God's been good to you. You know, even if there's nothing else in the cupboard but a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter, that is, praise God. He provided that for you, you know? Hallelujah. We've got so much to be thankful for. Amen. And your praise and worship leader, Aaron, leads here, right? He should not have to get up and say, come on, let's give him some praise today. You know, you should be, Lord, I'm happy to give you praise today because you have done so much for me. Amen. He's blessed. You've blessed me with these kids. You've blessed me with this family, with my wife. Even if we're arguing, hallelujah, you've still blessed me. We walk together as a team. Did you notice how many times Pastor David read words about praise that also means confession? You know, and what is the best way to confess? Right here, the word, right? That is a form of praise. I thank you, Lord, that my children serve you. They will serve you all the days of their life. They might be out drinking, smoking, cussing, whatever. But I thank you, Lord, that they will serve you every day of their life. They will never walk outside of living for you. You're calling them in. I thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing people right now as I'm praying. You're bringing people to them. I mean, that's confession. That's praise. That is praise. Anyway, praise God. But we're supposed to be worshipers. Amen. Amen. He is seeking for people to worship. Now, I use the example of my keys. Hallelujah. I need one of those clapper things. We finally got these things where we actually hang our keys up, you know, as soon as we walk in the door. So now I can find the keys, but I still lose them. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm working on that. I just get busy. But Jesus said that the Father is seeking for those. Now, I just find it interesting. If you start to look in the Word of God, how many times people worship God and He steps in on the scene and they receive their healing. He steps in on the scene and He sees their worshiping. He sees their faith and He steps in and takes care of it. You know, because He is seeking for those, right? Amen. So let's just look at Matthew 8. Excuse me. So I think that when you step in and worship God, He can draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Amen. And we're allowing Him to step in. Matthew 8, 2 and 3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He worshipped Him. That's, most of these are in the word proscunio, not all of them. Proscunio, that word that we've been talking about, meaning worship, is used over 64 times in the New Testament. 26 of those times are in Revelation. So worship, and I'm looking at the New Testament right now, praise God. Matthew 8, 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant is at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Wait. Is this right? Oh, yeah. Okay. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So, the centurion answered, and the Lord said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under. You know, this is where Jesus said, He says, I can tell my men, go, and they go. And anyway, but that word, I don't want to keep going there because I want to keep going on what I'm. But beseeching is the word, Pastor Carter, prosircomahi, I don't know. Thank you. Which means to draw near to worship. Shandaraya Kithia. Okay. Because I don't really know. But that word means to draw near and to worship. So he came and he worshiped God. He was we say beseeching here, but he was drawing near and worshiping God. And God steps in on the scene. And he is healed. Matthew 9. I mean, I could spend a lot of time just going through a lot of these stories here. And they're awesome. 9:18. While he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And then he was interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. But he came, they said, she's dead, you know. But he said, she's only sleeping. And she was healed. Again, he came and worshiped him. The Father is seeking for those who will worship him. So if your worship, you need a touch from God, I would begin to really have that time where you worship him. Amen. Matthew 15. I just want you to see it over and over and over again. It's not just me, you know. 15:21. And then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. But even this woman that had no personal relationship with God, I mean, of course, this is before the Holy Spirit and before the veil was rent, where we could come boldly before the throne of God, she worshiped him. This lady, she probably served other gods, right? They didn't serve God, Yahweh. They served other gods, but she knew enough to worship the true God, right? Mark 5. Verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he often fell bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man take him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. This is a man full of devils. And he knew those devils aren't even know this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? He fell and worshiped him. That man was delivered. Delivered. It doesn't matter what you need. You know, God's got the answer. But I'm just, you know, in that verse in John, there was one thing I wanted to bring out. When it says God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship, that must there means it is necessary, as in binding. Okay? So if you are bound to something, like if I would go and sign a lease, the law would bind me to pay. I have to pay, right? I can't get out of paying for however long that lease lasts. I'm bound to pay that. This here says that, in other words, that God is a spirit and they that worship, they are bound to worship him. You know, it's a binding thing. And so he's requiring it of us. And that doesn't mean that we put ourselves in, you know, oh, I guess I got to worship, you know. But we are required to worship God. It's important. Just like we need to spend that time with God. Worship is an important part of the time that we spend with God. And, you know, one thing, music is not required to worship God. Music is not required to praise God. God uses music to bring us into his presence. God uses music for us to praise and worship God. But it's, you know, you can worship God, you know, doing your laundry. You can praise God cleaning your bathroom. You know, it just doesn't matter. It's just that we do it. Yeah, the voice is an instrument. That's right. I believe that people worshiping God was important enough that the Holy Spirit put it in here. You know, when they came seeking after God, they needed, you know, God, the only way I'm going to see is if you touch me. The only way I'm going to be delivered of this disease is God. And it must have been important enough that they worshiped him, that he wrote it in the book, in the word, right? Boy, I should have written this a little clearer. But Jesus acknowledges them, and then he acted on their behalf, you know? And I believe that worship brings us into that place. You know, kind of like when you tithe, then he can bless your finances. You know, if you don't follow that, or when you sow seed or whatever, then God can step in and do more. You're putting yourself in a position. When we worship God, we are declaring who he is and what he does. And like I said, you know, so many times the word praise could be translated confession, or to confess. And when we praise the Lord, we're confessing his greatness. We're confessing his works, what he's done. I mean, you know, it can be what he's done for you, you know, because, you know, when we're humans and we tend to forget sometimes, we're facing this. And so what we've been through, you know, that's not as important anymore as what we're facing right here. And so we might be, we'll take an example of the flu. We're getting attacked with the flu. We're feeling, you know, not so good. But we tend to forget that, well, 2 weeks ago, I sprained my ankle. I could barely put any weight on it. And I came to church needing a touch. You know, I needed a touch. I needed strength in that ankle. And God healed me immediately, you know, but you tend to forget about that when you're facing that flu, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, thanking God, you've already been so good to me, Lord. You healed me, you know, you healed me of the flu. You've healed my ankle. You've healed my children. We've prayed and seen miracles happen. Lord, you brought that payment in when I didn't know how I was going to make that payment. You brought that to me, Lord. I mean, just we have to remember, you know, I don't do it, but, you know, some people keep journals. You know, I'm believing God for this, and this is when he brought it to pass. I believe in God for this, and this, you know, and that might even be a good thing, because you can look back on that and say, Lord, I thank you. You've done so much for me, you know. Let's look at Psalms 103. I'm kind of starting to bring it to close here. I'll try not to be my father's daughter and have 5 closings. And no, just kidding. I love my father, and I'm so thankful that I've got to grow up under that anointing on my life. So praise God. And you know, how he is, let me just tell you, you know, because some people think, you know, people are putting on airs or whatever, you know, but he is truly the way you see him in the pulpit, the way you see him ministering is how he is. You can ask Pastor David, Pastor Jack, Pastor Carter, who might be maybe have traveled with him, but that is truly how he is. I mean, and that is a blessing to me, you know, but I'm just letting you know that that's truly how that he is. He's the most merciful person I know. And somehow that just didn't seem to get fully on me yet, but I mean, praise God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That word there, bless, is Barak. Pastor David talked about it, to kneel down, to praise, to bless God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. If you can't think of anything to praise God about, open up Psalms 103. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, and I don't forget your benefits. I mean, open Psalms 103. You got something you can work with there, right? I mean, if you can't, if you're in a cranky, grumbling, complaining mood, and grumpy, and, you know, nothing ever works for me, get out Psalms 103 and be quiet. Read that scripture over and over and over again until it becomes, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that, I mean, you know, praise God. God gives us this whole word. And if you can't drum up, I mean, if you can't not drum up, but if you cannot recall the goodness of God in your life to thank him for, open up Psalms 103. There you go. Let's see. Luke 10. 38:42. Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him at her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with serving. You know, that's easy to do. That is so easy to do, especially people in the ministry. You know, I used to say that I really wasn't my mom and even Miss Debbie. But my mom had such a servant's heart. If you knew my mom, I mean, she probably could have had servant tattooed over her head. And that was her, you know. And really, Miss Debbie's the same way. I love her. I'm so thankful God brought her into my dad's life. But we can get so busy in the ministry, serving the people, being a servant, that sometimes you can forget, you know, oh, I've got to do this for so-and-so. I've got to be over here and pray with so-and-so. To spend that worship time with yourself and even everybody out here in the seats, you're in the ministry, you know, you are called too. And it's so important to not be so, you know, oh, Pastor Jack needed me to get this for him or whatever, that we forget about our worship to God. But Martha was cumbered about. I mean, she was really, you know, busy with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, that kind of sounds like something I would do. You know, that's really making me mad. Here I am. Pastor Jack needs all this help, and, you know, but that's when we get into, you can praise God while you're helping Pastor Jack. You can worship you some God and be a servant. Amen. And keep an attitude that's right, because, you know, God can't draw near to you if you're complaining. He can only draw near to you when you're drawing near to him, and he doesn't want to hear you complaining. I think he just kind of turns you off. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So the one thing that is needful is to spend time with God, right? You can get so busy taking the kids to soccer practice, busy taking the kids to, after they have soccer practice, then they have dance or they have football or whatever, that we forget we got to spend time with God. That's most important. Let's see. There is one scripture left that I just absolutely love. And let's go to Zephaniah 3:17, and this is where we'll end this morning. And I should have marked this one. Hallelujah. Got Zechariah. Let's see. Do you have it? Oh, I got it. Never mind. Okay, 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. There's a lot in there that translation really doesn't do justice for. That word, rejoice over thee with joy, it's talking about he spins wildly over thinking about us. He's not, oh, yay, you know, I'm just so proud I created him or whatever. He is over the thought of you. He spins wildly. So, you know, and then we just want to go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. While Jesus is up there, man, that Pastor Jack, look at him go, all right, you go, boy. And he's spinning around and rejoicing over us. And then we're, oh, thank you, Jesus. Something's not right there. But anyway, Dennis Jernigan is a praise and worship leader, and he was delivered out of a lifestyle of homosexuality. And he's a psalmist. Anointed man of God. God delivered him, set him free. And he put on one of his album covers, he kind of wrote out a long version of what Zephaniah 3:17 means. We actually have it written out and hung on our wall. But let me read it to you. I love it. The eternal self-existent God, the God who is three in one, he who swells in the center of your being is a powerful, valiant warrior. He has come to set you free, to keep you safe, and to bring you victory. He is cheered, and he beams with exceeding joy and takes pleasure in your presence. He has engraved a place for himself in you, and there he quietly rests in his love and affection for you. He cannot contain himself at the thought of you, and with greatest of joy spins around wildly in anticipation over you, and has a place and has placed you above all other creations and in the highest place in his priorities. You are in the highest place of his priorities. In fact, he shouts and he sings in triumph, joyfully proclaiming the gladness of his heart in a song of rejoicing, all because of you. I mean, that seems like he just, number one, loves us, right? He loves us. He loves you so much. He has created, made a way for you to spend time with him. You know, we don't have to do what they had to do in the Old Testament, and, you know, Pastor Jack be the priest, go get a lamb, bring it, put your hand on the lamb while he slices the neck and lets the blood flow and burns it as an offering. We don't have to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think I'd be saying, Lord, please call me to something else. But we can have a personal relationship. There's not that veil separating us from God's presence anymore. We can live and walk in his presence all day long. And really, that's at the heart of worship and the heart of praise. And just let me, you know, encourage you. Like I said, we're all going to praise God differently. But it's a heart. You know, you can tell when somebody has a heart of worship. You can tell when someone loves God so much that out of that love, they're there just to worship. They're there to praise God. They're there to, you know, he is our everything. He is our all in all. Without him, we are nothing, you know? And just to enter into that time, whether, you know, you jump off this stage, whether you jump up on the chairs and praise God, it doesn't matter. Just show forth his praises. Amen. And I believe that people getting an understanding of living in God's presence, dwelling in his presence, and I believe praise and worship is a way to get into his presence, is going to be what's going to draw people in. You know, because if you just go into the grocery store, my goodness, you can see the hurt, the pain out there in this world. I mean, people are in fear right now, aren't they? You can hear it on the news. I choose not to watch the news. If my son was telling me something that was going on with airplanes or whatever right now, I'm thinking, you know, how did I not hear about that? And then my daughter was talking about this guy that just got executed and what did you think about that? And I'm like, you know, I don't know, because because every time you turn on the news, it's all gloom and despair. It really is. And you know, regardless of what's going on in the news, I'm still going to wake up tomorrow morning and I got to choose what I put in here, you know? And if you can watch the news and or whatever and not let it affect you, but I choose not to listen to it. You know, I really do. But I don't know why I got off on that. But, you know, there's a world out there that's hurting. They need Jesus. There's people dying of incurable diseases. And who has the answer? We do. And we should be walking in the presence of God to such an extent that, like, in the Bible, our shadow goes over him. We've been with God all day. We've been in his presence all day. Pastor Jack walks into Walmart. Somebody's in their wheelchair. His shadow falls over him. They come jumping out of their, you know, I can walk, you know, run through Walmart. You'll get a crowd. You'll get a crowd at your next church service, right? But we should be living that way. We should be living in the presence of God to such an extent that it's just on us all the time. It's an outflow, you know? And you can minister to that lady that you can just tell they're downcast. Or, you know, I know recently I've gone to the store a lot more where people, you know, are, oh, we got to put that back. Don't have enough money for it. You know, where you can be an outflow of love. Here, go ahead, put that back on there. Let me take care of that. And a matter of fact, let me just take care of all your groceries. You be blessed. You know, but we can't do that if we're not walking in all that God has for us. And but I just want to encourage you throughout today. You're going to hear a lot. And we're both, Pastor David and I, are going to use a lot of scripture. Because if you don't see it in here, you know, then just let it go in one ear and out the other. But we're showing you in here so you can see how important praise and worship is to God. It's not just important to Pastor David and I because we like to sing, you know, and it's not just important to us because, hey, we really like music. You know, we do have music going on a lot at our house with kids and and us. Praise God. It's exciting to see your kids walking in that anointing, being raised up in that anointing. But, you know, it's not just, I want to see our focus so change that it's not just to, you know, if we really have good praise and worship, then maybe Pastor Jack will pray, you know, preach a little better. It's not about Pastor Jack. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor David. It's not about Pastor Carter. It's not about anything except God and our love and showing our love to God, right? And I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you have to, you know, there's times where, well, I'm going on, but there's times where you do have things that go on in life, right? You might have had your car. No, our cars work perfectly in Jesus' name. But, you know, there just might be a time where you're running late that morning. You know, we always try to be on time. But you might be running late and might be a little frustrated or whatever. But, you know, to stop and say, okay, look, this is not about me right now. This is about me ministering to God. You know, because it's not about us. It's all about God. It's about God. And when we draw near to him, he's going to every time draw near to us. Every time. And I didn't get to a lot of my notes, but there you have it. Amen.
Jesus, this has been good, hasn't it? I mean, rich. I'm just making me want to just glorify God for everything in me. I am so glad I don't have to sacrifice sheep. But I do have a confession to make. I did kill 3 donuts this morning.